Act 1, page 9. At rise of curtain. The curtain comes up on a dark stage. Then as the lights start to come up on the scene, we hear the voice of the judge off stage. Judge off stage. Murder in the first degree, premeditated homicide, is the most serious charge tried in our criminal courts. You have heard a long and complex case, gentlemen, and it is now your duty to sit down to try and separate the facts from the fancy. One man is dead. The life of another is at stake. If there is a reasonable doubt in your minds as to the guilt of the accused, then you must declare him not guilty. If, however, there is no reasonable doubt, then he must be found guilty. Whichever way you decide, the verdict must be unanimous. I urge you to deliberate honestly and thoughtfully. You are faced with a grave responsibility. Thank you, gentlemen. There is a long pause. The lights are now up full in the jury room. There is a door left and a window in the right wall of the room. Over the door left is an electric clock. A water cooler is down right, with a waste basket beside it. A container with paper cups is attached to the wall nearby. A long conference table is slightly upstage of C stage. About it are 12 uncomfortable-looking straight chairs. There is a chair at either end of the table, 7 at the upstage side and 3 at the downstage side of the table. Note: this arrangement of the chairs about the table will enable most of the action to be directed toward the audience, with a minority of the characters placed with their backs toward the audience. There are 2 more straight chairs against the down left wall, and 1 in the upper right corner of the room. It is a bare, unpleasant room. After the pause, the door left opens, and the guard walks in. As he opens the door, the lettering "Jury Room" can be seen on the outside of the door. Page 10. The guard walks across the room and opens the window right as a clerk drones out off stage left. Clerk off stage left. The jury will retire. Guard surveying the room, shaking his head. He doesn't stand a chance. Moves left again. The jurors file in left. The guard stands upstage of the door and counts them. 4 or 5 of the jurors light cigarettes as they enter the room. Juror 5 lights a pipe, which he smokes constantly. Jurors 2, 9, and 12 go to the water cooler for a drink. Juror 7 goes to the window and opens it wider. The rest of the jurors begin to take seats around the table, though some of them stand and lean forward with both hands on the back of the chair. Juror 7 produces a pack of gum and offers a piece to the men by the water cooler. 7. Chewing gum? 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 9. Thank you, but no. Jurors 2 and 12 shake their heads. 7. You know something? 12. I know lots of things. I'm in advertising. 7. Tugging at collar. You know, it's hot. 12 to 2, mildly sarcastic. I never would have known that if he hadn't told me, would you? 2, missing the sarcasm. I suppose not, I'd kind of forgotten. 12, all I've done all day is sweat. 3, calling out. I bet you aren't sweating like that kid who was tried. 7, you'd think they'd at least air condition the place. I almost dropped dead in court. 12, my taxes are high enough. 7. This should go fast anyway. Moves to the table as 8 goes to the window. 9, nodding to himself, then as he throws his paper water cup into the wastebasket. Yes, it's hot. Page 11. Guard. Okay, gentlemen, everybody's here. If there's anything you want, I'm right outside. Just knock. He goes out left, closing the door. They all look at the door silently. The lock is turned. 3. Did he lock that door? 4. Yes, he did. 3. What do they think we are, crooks? Foreman, instead, seated at left end of table. They lock us up for a little while. 3. Breaking in. And then they lock that kid up forever, and that's okay by me. 5. motioning toward the door. I never knew they did that. 10, blowing his nose. Sure, they locked the door. What did you think? 5, a bit irritated. I just didn't know. It never occurred to me. 4, shall we all admit right now that it is hot and humid and our tempers are short? 8, turning from the window. It's been a pretty hard week. Turns back and continues looking out. 3, I feel just fine. 12, I wonder what's been going on down at the office. You know how it is in advertising. In 6 days my job could be gone and the whole company, too. They aren't going to like this. Jurors start to take off their suit coats and hang them over the backs of their chairs. Foreman, well, figure this is our duty. 12, I didn't object to doing my duty. I just mentioned that I might not have a job by the time I get back. He and 9 move to table and take their places. 9 sits near right end of table. 3, motioning to 4. Ask him to hire you. He's rich. Look at the suit. Foreman to 4 as he tears off slips of paper for a ballot. Is it custom tailored? 4. Yes, it is. Foreman. I have an uncle who's a tailor. 4 takes his jacket off, places it carefully over the back of his chair, and sits. Page 12. 4. How does he do? Foreman shaking his head. Not too well. You know, a friend of his, that's a friend of my uncle, the tailor. Well, this friend wanted to be in on this jury in my place. 7. Why didn't you let him? I would have done anything to miss this. Foreman. And get caught or something? You know what kind of a fine you could pay for anything like that. Anyway, this friend of my uncle's was on a jury once about 10 years ago. A case just about like this one. 12. So what happened? Foreman. They let him off. Reasonable doubt. And do you know, about 8 years later, they found out that he'd actually done it anyhow. A guilty man, a murderer, was turned loose in the streets. 3. Did they get him? 4. They couldn't. 3. Why not? 4. A man can't be held in double jeopardy, unless it's a hung jury. They can't try a man twice for the same crime. 7. This isn't going to happen here. 3. 6 days. They should have finished it in 2. Slapping back of one hand into the palm of the other. Talk, talk, talk. Gets up and starts for the water cooler. Did you ever hear so much talk about nothing? 2. Laughing nervously. Well, I guess they're entitled. 3. Everybody gets a fair trial, shakes his head. That's the system, downs his drink. Well, I suppose you can't say anything against it. Tosses his water cup toward the wastebasket and misses. 2 picks up the cup and puts it in the wastebasket as 3 returns to his seat. 7 to 10. How did you like that business about the knife? Did you ever hear a phonier story? 10 wisely. Well, look, you gotta expect that. You know what you're dealing with. 7. He bought a switch knife that night. Page 13. 10 with a sneer. And then he lost it. 7. A hole in his pocket. 10. A hole in his father. 2. An awful way to kill your father. A knife in his chest. Crosses to the table. 10. Look at the kind of people they are. You know them. And gets a handkerchief out again. 7. What's the matter? You got a cold? 10. Blowing. A lulu. These hot weather colds can kill you. 7. I had one last year while I was on vacation, too. Foreman. Briskly. All right, gentlemen, let's take seats. 7. Right. This better be fast. I've got tickets to... Insert name of any current Broadway hit. For tonight. I must be the only guy in the world who hasn't seen it yet. Laughs and sits down, as do others still not seated. Okay, Your Honor, start the show. Foreman to 8, who is still looking out the window. How about sitting down? 8 doesn't hear him. The gentleman at the window. 8 turns, startled. How about sitting down? 8. Oh, I'm sorry. He sits at the right end of the table, opposite to Foreman. 10. It's tough to figure, isn't it? A kid kills his father. Bing. Just like that. Well, it's the element. They let the kids run wild. Maybe it serves them right. 4. There are better proofs than some emotion you may have, perhaps a dislike for some group. 7. We all agreed that it was hot. 9. And that our tempers will get short. 3. That's if we disagree. But this is open and shut. Let's get it done. Foreman. All right. Now, you gentlemen can handle this any way you want to. I mean, I'm not going to make any rules. If we want to discuss it first and then vote, that's one way. Or we can vote right now and see how we stand. 7. Let's vote now. Who knows? Maybe we can all go home. Page 14. 10. Yeah, let's see who's where. 3. Right. Let's vote now. 8. All right. Let us vote. Foreman. Anybody doesn't want to vote? Looks around the table. There is a pause as all look at each other. 7. That was easy. Foreman. Okay. All those voting guilty, raise your hands. Jurors 3, 7, 10, and 12 put their hands up instantly. The foreman and 2, 4, 5, and 6 follow a second later. Then 11 raises his hand, and a moment later 9 puts his hand up. 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 11 for guilty. Okay, not guilty? 8's hand goes up. All turn to look at him. 3. Hey, you're in left field. Foreman. Okay, 11-1. 11 guilty, 1 not guilty. Now we know where we stand. 3. Rising to 8. Do you really believe he's not guilty? 8. Quietly. I don't know. 7. To Foreman. After 6 days, he doesn't know. 12. In 6 days, I could learn calculus. This is A, B, C. 8. I don't believe that it is as simple as A, B, C. 3. I never saw a guiltier man in my life. He sits again. 8. What does a guilty man look like? He is not guilty until we say he is guilty. Are we to vote on his face? 3. You sat right in court and heard the same things I did. That man's a dangerous killer. You could see it. 8. Where do you look to see if a man is a killer? 3. Irritated by him. Oh, well. 8. With quiet insistence. I would like to know. Tell me what the facial characteristics of a killer are. Maybe you know something that I don't know. 4. Look. What is there about the case that makes you think the boy is innocent? 8. He's 19 years old. 3. That's old enough. He knifed his own father 4 inches into the chest. An innocent little 19-year-old kid. Page 15. 4-3. I agree with you that the boy is guilty, but I think we should try to avoid emotionally colored arguments. 3. All right. They proved it 12 different ways. Do you want me to list them? 8. No. 10. Rising, putting his feet on the seat of a chair and sitting on the back of it, then to 8. Well, do you believe that stupid story he told? 4-10. Now. 10. Do you believe the kid's story? 8. I don't know whether I believe it or not. Maybe I don't. 7. So what'd you vote not guilty for? 8. There were 11 votes for guilty. It's not so easy for me to raise my hand and send a boy off to die without talking about it first. 7. Who says it's easy for me? 4. Or me? 8. No one. Foreman. He's still just as guilty, whether it's an easy vote or a hard vote. 7. Belligerently. Is there something wrong because I voted fast? 8. Not necessarily. 7. I think the guy's guilty. You couldn't change my mind if you talked for 100 years. 8. I don't want to change your mind. 3. Just what are you thinking of? 8. I want to talk for a while. Look, this boy's been kicked around all his life. You know, living in a slum. His mother dead since he was 9. That's not a very good head start. He's a tough, angry kid. You know why slum kids get that way? Because we knock 'em over the head once a day, every day. I think maybe we owe him a few words. That's all. Looks around table. He is met by cold looks. 9 nods slowly while 4 begins to comb his hair. Page 16. 4. All right, it's hard, sure. It was hard for me. Everything I've got I fought for. I worked my way through college. That was a long time ago, and perhaps you do forget. I fought, yes, but I never killed. 3. I know what it's like. I never killed nobody. 12. I've been kicked around, too. Wait until you've worked in an ad agency and the big boy that buys the advertising walks in. We all know. 11. Who speaks with an accent. In my country, in Europe, kicking was a science, but let's try to find something better than that. 10 to 8. I don't mind telling you this, mister. We don't owe the kid a thing. He got a fair trial, didn't he? You know what that trial cost? He's lucky he got it. Look, we're all grown-ups here. You're not going to tell us that we're supposed to believe him, knowing what he is? I've lived among them all my life. You can't believe a word they say. You know that. 9 to 10, very slowly. I don't know that. What a terrible thing for a man to believe. Since when is dishonesty a group characteristic? You have no monopoly on the truth. 3, interrupting. All right, it's not Sunday. We don't need a sermon. 9, not heeding. What this man says is very dangerous. 8 puts his hand on 9's arm and stops him. 9 draws a deep breath and relaxes. 4. I don't see any need for arguing like this. I think we ought to be able to behave like gentlemen. 7. Right. 12. Smiling up at 4. Oh, all right, if you insist. 4 to 12. Thank you. 12. Sure. 4. If we're going to discuss this case, why, let's discuss the facts. Page 17. Foreman, I think that's a good point. We have a job to do. Let's do it. 11. If you gentlemen don't mind, I'm going to close the window. He gets up and does so, then apologetically as he moves back to table. It was blowing on my neck. 10 blows his nose fiercely as he gets down from back of the chair and sits again. 7. If you don't mind, I'd like to have the window open. 11. But it was blowing on me. 7. Don't you want a little air? It's summer. It's hot. 11. I was very uncomfortable. 7. There are 12 of us in this room. It's the only window, if you don't mind. 11. I have some rights, too. 7. So do the rest of us. 4 to 11. Couldn't you trade chairs with someone at the other end of the table? 11. All right, I will open the window, if someone would trade. He goes to the window and opens it. 2 gets up and goes to 11's chair near right end of table. 2, motioning, take my chair. 11, thank you, goes to 2's chair near left end of table. Foreman, shall we get back to the case? 3, yeah, let's. 12, I may have an idea here. I'm just thinking out loud now, but it seems to me that it's up to us to convince this gentleman, motioning toward 8, that we're right and he's wrong. Maybe if we each talk for a minute or two, you know, try it on for size. Foreman, well, that sounds fair enough. 4, very fair. Foreman, supposing we go once around the table. 7, okay, let's start it off. Foreman, right, to 2. We'll start with you. 2, timidly. Oh, well, there's a long pause. I just think he's guilty. I thought it was obvious. Page 18. 8. In what way was it obvious? 2. I mean that nobody proved otherwise. 8, quietly. Nobody has to prove otherwise. Innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof is on the prosecution. The defendant doesn't have to open his mouth. That's in the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment. You've heard of it. 4. Everyone has. 2. Flustered. Well, sure, I've heard of it. I know what it is. What I meant... Well, anyway, I think he's guilty. 8. Looking at 2, shaking his head slowly. No reasons. Just guilty. There is a life at stake here. 3. Okay, let's get to the facts. Number 1. Let's take the old man who lived on the second floor right underneath the room where the murder took place. At 12:10 on the night of the killing, he heard loud noises in the upstairs apartment. He said it sounded like a fight. Then he heard the kid say to his father, "I'm gonna kill you." A second later, he heard a body falling, and he ran to the door of his apartment, looked out, and saw the kid running downstairs and out of the house. Then he called the police. They found the father with a knife in his chest. Foreman, and the coroner fixed the time of death at around midnight. 3. Right. Now what else do you want? 8. It doesn't seem to fit. 4. The boy's entire story is flimsy. He claimed he was at the movies. That's a little ridiculous, isn't it? He couldn't even remember what picture he saw. 3. That's right. Did you hear that? 4. You're absolutely right. 5. He didn't have any ticket stub. 8. Who keeps a ticket stub at the movies? 4-5. That's true enough. 5. I suppose, but the cashier didn't remember him. 3. And the ticket taker didn't either. Page 19. 10. Look, what about the woman across the street? If her testimony don't prove it, then nothing does. 12. That's right. She saw the killing, didn't she? Foreman, rapping on the table. Let's go in order. 10. Loudly. Just a minute. Here's a woman who's lying in bed and can't sleep. It's hot, you know. Gets up and begins to walk around at left stage, blowing his nose and talking. Anyway, she wakes up, and she looks out the window, and right across the street she sees the kid stick the knife into his father. 8. How can she really be sure it was the kid when she saw it through the windows of a passing elevated train? 10. Pausing down left. She's known the kid all his life. His window is right opposite hers, across the L tracks, and she swore she saw him do it. 8. I heard her swear to it. 10. Okay, and they proved in court that you can look through the windows of a passing L train at night and see what's happening on the other side. They proved it. 8. Weren't you telling us just a minute or two ago that you can't trust them, that you can't believe them? 10. Coldly. So? 8. Then I'd like to ask you something. How come you believed her? She's one of them, too, isn't she? 10. Crosses up to 8. 10. You're a pretty smart fellow, aren't you? Foreman, rising. Now take it easy. 3. Gets up and goes to 10. 3. Come on, sit down. He leads 10 back to his seat. What are you letting him get you all upset for? Relax. 10 and 3 sit down. 4. Gentlemen, they did take us out to the woman's room, and we looked through the windows of a passing L train. To 8. Didn't we? 8. Yes. Nods. We did. 4. And weren't you able to see what happened on the other side? Page 20. 8. I didn't see as well as they told me that I would see, but I did see what happened on the other side. 10. Snapping at 8. You see? Do you see? Foreman sitting down again. Let's calm down now. To 5. It's your turn. 5. I'll pass it. Foreman, that's your privilege. To 6. How about you? 6. Slowly. I don't know. I started to be convinced, you know, with the testimony from those people across the hall. Didn't they say something about an argument between the father and the boy around 7 o'clock that night? I mean, I can be wrong. 11. I think it was 8 o'clock, not 7. 8. That's right, 8 o'clock. 4. They heard the father hit the boy twice and then saw the boy walk angrily out of the house. 6. Right. 8. What does that prove? 6. Well, it doesn't exactly prove anything. It's just part of the picture. I didn't say it proved anything. Foreman, anything else? 6, no. Rises, goes to the water cooler for a drink, and then sits again. 7, I don't know. Most of it's been said already. We can talk all day about this thing, but I think we're wasting our time. 8, I don't. 4, neither do I. Go on. 7, look at the kid's record. He stole a car. He's been arrested for mugging. I think they said he stabbed somebody in the arm. 4, they did. 7, he was picked up for knife fighting. At 15, he was in reform school. 3, and they sent him to reform school for stabbing someone. 7, with sarcasm, this is a very fine boy. Page 21. 8, ever since he was 5 years old, his father beat him up regularly. He used his fists. 7, so would I on a kid like that. 3, you're right. It's the kids, the way they are, you know. They don't listen, bitterly. I've got a kid. When he was 8 years old, he ran away from a fight. I saw him. I was so ashamed. I told him right out, I'm going to make a man out of you, or I'm going to bust you up into little pieces trying. When he was 15, he hit me in the face. He's big, you know. I haven't seen him in 3 years. Rotten kid. I hate tough kids. You work your heart out. Pauses. All right, let's get on with it. Gets up and goes to the window, very embarrassed. 4. We're missing the point here. This boy, let's say he's a product of a filthy neighborhood and a broken home. We can't help that. We're not here to go into the reasons why slums are breeding grounds for criminals. They are. I know it. So do you. The children who come out of slum backgrounds are potential menaces to society. 10. You said it there. I don't want any part of them. Believe me. There is a dead silence for a moment, and then 5 speaks haltingly. 5. I've lived in a slum all my life. 10. Now wait a second. 5. I used to play in a backyard that was filled with garbage. Maybe it still smells on me. Foreman. Now, let's be reasonable. There's nothing personal. 5, rising, slamming his hand down on the table. There is something personal. Then he catches himself and, seeing everyone looking at him, sits down, fists clenched. 3, turning from the window. Come on now. He didn't mean you, feller. Let's not be so sensitive. There is a long pause. 8, breaking the silence. Who did he mean? 11, I can understand this sensitivity. Foreman. Now, let's stop the bickering. Page 22. 12. We're wasting time. Foreman to 8. It's your turn. 8. All right. I had a peculiar feeling about this trial. Somehow I felt that the defense counsel never really conducted a thorough cross-examination. Too many questions were left unasked. 4. Well, it doesn't change my opinion about the guilt of the kid. Still, I agree with you that the defense counsel was bad. 3. So? Crosses back to the table and sits. 8. This is a point. 3. What about facts? 8. So many questions were never answered. 3. Annoyed. What about the questions that were answered? For instance, let's talk about that cute little switch knife. You know, the one that fine, upright kid admitted buying. 8. All right, let's talk about it. Let's get it in here and look at it. I'd like to see it again, Mr. Foreman. Foreman looks at him questioningly, and then gets up and goes to the door, left. During the following dialogue, the foreman knocks. The guard unlocks the door and comes in, left, and the foreman whispers to him. The guard nods and leaves, locking the door. The foreman returns to his seat. 3. We all know what it looks like. I don't see why we have to look at it again. To 4. What do you think? 4. The gentleman has a right to see exhibits and evidence. 3. Shrugging. Okay with me. 4. To 8. This knife is a pretty strong piece of evidence, don't you agree? 8. I do. 4. Now let's get the sequence of events right as they relate to the switch knife. 12. The boy admits going out of his house at 8 o'clock, after being slapped by his father. page 23. 8. Or punched. 4. Or punched. Gets up and begins to pace at right stage, then moving down right to upper right and back again. He went to a neighborhood store and bought a switch knife. The storekeeper was arrested the following day when he admitted selling it to the boy. 3. I think everyone agrees that it's an unusual knife. Pretty hard to forget something like that. 4. The storekeeper identified the knife and said it was the only one of its kind he had in stock. Why did the boy get it? 7. Sarcastically. As a present for a friend of his, he says. 4. Pausing in his pacing. Am I right so far? 8. Right. 3. You bet he's right, to all. Now listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. 4. Standing at right stage. Next, the boy claims that on the way home, the knife must have fallen through a hole in his coat pocket, that he never saw it again. Now there's a story, gentlemen. You know what actually happened. The boy took the knife home and a few hours later stabbed his father with it and even remembered to wipe off the fingerprints. The door left opens and the guard walks in with an oddly designed knife with a tag on it. 4 crosses left and takes the knife from him. The guard goes out left, closing and locking the door. 4 at left center, holding up the knife. Everyone connected with the case identified this knife. Now, are you trying to tell me that someone picked it up off the street and went to the boy's house and stabbed his father with it just to be amusing? 8. No, I'm saying that it's possible that the boy lost the knife and that someone else stabbed his father with a similar knife. It's possible. 4 flips open the knife and jams it into the wall just downstage of door left.